Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
Well, that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, we are back. And I want to welcome everybody to the first podcast of 2012 of the N4G Radio. And it's a special day because we are doing our Game of the Year choices. I can't concentrate.
Clearly.
But with
us, it's not even playoff time yet.
With us this week, we have GamusCon.
Greetings, programs.
We have the Frustrated Fury.
Yeah.
We have John W.
Hello.
And finally, we have Mr. Futon.
Happy New Year!
And joining us momentarily will be Mr. Wombout. Wombalicious.
Hey.
So, I don't want to spend too much time on fondling, Jason.
Are we actually doing fondling then?
Just a little bit. Just a little kicker to talk about what you played over the holiday. So, Mr. Khan, what did you play?
Well,
time's up. That's it.
Yeah. I only, tell you the truth, I've only played pretty much one game over the holiday.
Was it an iPhone game?
What's that?
Was it an iPhone game?
No, I played a couple iPhone games, but so brief that I don't even feel the need to like really flat out mention one. But yeah, I played a little bit of iPhone, and I played a little bit of Mario Kart 7 for the 3DS, which is still incredibly awesome. However, the game that I played the most of past few weeks. A game that my wife got me for Christmas, bless her heart. And that's a game that has the most epic, like, title screen music ever. I just let it run. I just let the music run.
The Scooby-Doo theme song?
Sounds like it.
Rongo! Right?
This is Skyrim.
What system did you get it on?
The 360. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
Yes,
her heart is blessed.
Bless her heart.
No backwards dragons for you.
Oh.
Yep. Because if she got the PS3 version, I'd be like, honey, we go into the store.
He would foosh ro da ya. Out the window.
PS3 version's not that bad.
Drew, you are one of the few people who haven't had an issue. Everybody knows that version is broke to shit.
Well,
hey, don't be a 360 fanboy.
I'm not being a fanboy. Yeah. Even the PS3 guys know it's broke.
Except for that one guy who called us fanboys. He doesn't know anything about broke.
I'm just saying. When there's a broke game, there's a broke game. It's just like El Shaddai was broke on the 360.
Skyrim, what can I say about this game that has not been said on a million other podcasts and review websites?
It
and
sucks.
It's
awesome. You could say that, and that hasn't been said, right?
It's like, whoa.
It's Bill and Ted, is it?
Yes.
Whoa, dude.
Excellent to each other.
Excellent. But I'm not as far into it as I wish I was. I'm about 7.5 hours in.
So that's about 1% then.
Yeah. Ironically, most of that 7.5 hour, I was actually playing the main quest, and I'm like about 20% through the main quest, but I haven't even done any side quests yet. So I'm going back and doing side quests. So,
I have a quick question. How much of a difference does it make in the game if you choose the Imperials over the Rebels, or vice versa?
Is this Star Wars?
Well, sorry, the Stormcloaks versus the Imperial dudes.
Yeah, the Stormcloaks versus the Imperial.
Where is the Rebel base?
The dragons of the Death Star.
These are not the dragons you are looking for.
Was rubbed off?
Yeah, I do know that right in the very beginning of the game, it depends on which person you follow in the very beginning. It can actually, it's actually quite different. But I heard that you can join either or later. Like if you follow
there's a mission that you, well, you're not mission you choose, but there are two missions that come up on your quest log, and one of them is joining the Imperials, the other's joining the Stormcloaks, and one then, once you do one, the other's then grayed out, and you're not able to do it.
Okay, because yeah. I wasn't sure, because that's a decision you have to make early on in the game, where you don't have a ton of information other than, well, those guys just tried to kill me.
Yeah, well, no, you don't have to make the decision at that point.
Okay, cool.
I didn't make it until about 20 hours in. I'd done loads of side quests, and some of the side quests involve you gaining a little bit more information about either side.
All right, cool. Hey, Wombat.
How you doing?
Awesome.
Hey.
Good. Yeah, I just actually made that decision 60 hours in.
Yeah, see, I haven't even made it yet.
Sweet. Yeah, we're talking about Skyrim.
There's too much Sky on this podcast. Skylander, yeah. Skyrim. Can we talk about something else?
Skylanders! But, I feel that I'll say this. This game has probably, in terms of environments, the most, the most compelling, like, environments that make me feel that it's actually not just some bull crap, you know? I don't know how to say it. It's the most compelling, some of the most compelling environments I've ever been in. And the thing is, this is coming from someone who's played, who tried to enjoy Oblivion. I got probably about just as far into Oblivion, probably about 7 hours or so, and I just couldn't get into that game. I was trying to, and there was a lot of janky things about Oblivion that I couldn't really get into. One of them off the top of my head is like when you talk to someone, how like almost the world kind of stops and they look right at you at the camera, and it just kind of feels weird. Whereas in Skyrim, whenever you're talking to a villager or someone, it seems a much more natural.
Yeah, they definitely improved the Michelle Bachmann eyes issue from Oblivion.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love how if you walk through the same environment at nighttime, it has like a completely different vibe than it does like during the daytime, not just visually but with sound effects, I love walking around. I love walking like along the stream, and there's waterfalls. I love just jumping off waterfalls just for the heck of it. I love going to high peaks and seeing if I could see like the sunset or a sunrise, and it's just one of those games that the environment, the world, just feels so completely and utterly realized, and it's compelling. It's truly a compelling thing, and the world just seems really cool. And I feel overwhelmed when I play the game, not just because of like I'm just now starting to play some of the side quests, which I heard is overwhelming in itself, but the world itself feels overwhelming. You know, even if I try to play just the campaign, I feel that it's an overwhelming world, kind of like it's just ominous. It's an ominous game to play. And it's really cool. And in contrast, it's like Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is an incredible, compelling game, on a gameplay and mechanics level, but the environments in Zelda Skyward Sword seem a lot more fragmented, whereas in Skyrim it's much more streamlined and organic. So it's kind of a contrast. I still love Zelda. I still love Skyward Sword, but with Skyward Sword, if Skyrim never came out this year, I would say that Skyward Sword would probably be my game of the year, because it probably would be my game of the year compared to the games I played. However, with Skyrim, I got feelings of stuff that I never experienced in like many, many years. So Skyrim,
did it rekindle your love?
It rekindled my love life. I mean, it's like,
what the fuck?
It was the first time.
I didn't really expect us to go down that road, but
it's like when I'm playing it, I'm like,
okay, I think we've had some good sharing.
I'm like, I love you. Ooh.
I'm gonna shut up now so we never have this conversation again.
I'm just jerking your chain.
Okay, then.
And we're done.
Off the lights.
Okay. Well, that concludes my fondling for the past few weeks.
Okay.
And, future fondling would be more Skyrim.
All right. So I'll move on to Drew.
Okay.
Drew, Jason, cut into about 8 minutes of your time.
I know. Which mine's real simple. Well, it's not really simple. I play a lot of games, but I will just breeze through them. I I played through and completed Rage. Decent first-person shooter. It was actually really enjoyable. I just wish there was a checkpoint system in that game. But yeah, actually very, very good shooting mechanics. The thing is, the only thing I didn't like about it was the fact that the enemies seem to absorb bullets at times, especially the later guys. I don't care if you do have body armor on, when I'm shooting you with like armor-piercing rounds and it still takes 20 shots to kill you, that's a problem. But yeah, I played through Rage. Took about maybe 10, 11 hours. It wasn't that long, I didn't do everything in it. Yeah, I didn't care about the races, and I think.
What are you talking about? That one reviewer beat it in 9 hours and did every side quest.
He's a liar.
Thank you.
He is a fucking liar, because you can go look at my time right now, and it's 11 hours, and I did 4 races, and 2 of those were mandatory. So, and I didn't deliver mail because I thought that was lame. Yeah, I want to shoot shit.
Not fails, it makes me want to wag my tail.
But,
what?
Nobody's ever watched Blue's Clues, because... Never mind.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know what you're saying now.
You wish I didn't, but now you do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Have kids, you'll understand.
No, I won't let my children watch Blue's Clues. I think it warps.
So even if your child comes to you, Daddy, can I please watch Blue's Clues? No.
I'll be like, that's the devil.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
That's because you're from a foreign country.
It was a kid show. It was a kid show from the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's still on the air.
That's still on the air, but they're no longer making new episodes of.
No,
thank God.
Wow. That's kind of shitty for the kids. I've already seen this episode. I know how it ends.
Dude, kids don't care.
Nope. Yeah, you got to understand that kids thrive upon repetition. They want to watch the same episode over and over and over again.
My kid wants to watch the same episode of Chuggington over and over and over again. He doesn't care if Blue's Clues isn't new.
Chuggy, 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 chuggy.
You actually get Chuggington over there.
We do, yeah. It's
Is it the English version, though? Is it English, like,
no,
accent
no.
version?
Oh, no, okay. It's the American version. They what's funny though is I've watched a couple of the English episodes on YouTube, like in the car, and the American episodes are just straight out copies off the English episodes, just with different voices. So
okay, just voiceover difference then.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Sorry.
So I played Elsa Die, Ascension of the Metatron. Play through that game completely. I actually finished it yesterday. Yeah, that game was really, really good. It was very unique. I don't think I've ever played any game that looked like that before.
And looked like that every other level.
Yeah, everything was different. I'm afraid to. Well, that game came out like early.
September.
Oh, is it September?
Yeah.
So can I kind of talk about it without, kind of maybe spoilers?
I think the only person you'll upset on here is Jason.
Jason?
Oh, I'm good.
All right, there's a freaking motorcycle level in that game.
It's badass.
It's fucking awesome as hell. You're getting chased by mechs. Yes, this is a game that features, it's like you versus angels. You play as Enoch.
What is that? He's a descendant of Noah.
He's the grandson of Noah.
Yeah.
He was supposedly the only man who had never experienced death. And so he sent back to Earth to stop these fallen angels from procreating with human beings.
You have to destroy their tower.
Yes, you have to destroy their tower. Otherwise, God will flood the Earth once again to cleanse the Earth. And, that tower is huge, that tower is weird, and the tower has a friggin' level that looks like a city made out of Tron and has a motorcycle level in it.
Awesome.
And that game is sweet.
And it has a Space Channel 5 level.
It does have a Space Channel 5. I was just thinking Michael Jackson the entire time.
that level was messed up.
All that stuff was messed up, dude. That whole game was just like, what the fuck is going on?
But you loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it was great. It was very good. The only thing is that the combat did kind of get monotonous after a while because it was the same stuff over and over again. Because it has a somewhat deep combat system, but it's so simple at the same time. You know, there's only one button for attack, and depending on how you hit the button is how the different attacks will come out. But yeah. I thought that was a very decent game. I really liked. He's not Lucifer. He's Lucifaro or something like that.
Lucifel. That was his name before he became Lucifer.
But wait a minute. The timeline is completely screwed up if they're going by biblical standards.
It's just based.
Yeah, it's based on one of the books of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Book of Enoch, I know. But it's just... Well, yeah, but
it's
I mean,
a video Enoch, game.
It isn't the New Testament.
Video games aren't always real.
I know this.
No,
but,
sorry
but
to
what
burst
I,
you, Bob.
I know this, but what I'm saying is that like, okay...
Drew, he talks Lucifer, to he Lucifer talks
was
to God.
Satan by the time human beings came to
Drew,
Earth.
Drew, he talks to God on a cell phone.
I know this.
Who doesn't?
Wait a minute, hold on. Lucifer, fell because he was upset that God preferred humans, that humans were given free will, I believe.
Are we really having this conversation right now?
But he was also Satan while Adam and Eve was around, and Adam and Eve were the first humans.
No, he was, it's, the Bible now makes all the religious groups now make out that the snake was Satan, but that wasn't originally the case. That came in about the 16th century. They started.
man, we're talking logistics now. Wow.
No, it's literally, I've just over the Christmas period, the BBC had a program on the history of the devil and where he appeared, and I happened to watch it and found it quite fascinating. And
that's a good little Christmas program for everybody.
hey, enjoy your chestnuts and your presents, fucker. Here's the devil.
But Satan. Yeah, it's actually a lot more sort of convoluted than you think. But anyway, that's nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, that's beside the point. The game is really cool. I got it for $19. I think that was a steal. Because that game was actually really good. Other than that, I did start up Assassin's Creed Brotherhood yesterday after I beat El Shaddai. And,
Wait, you mean I beat a game before Drew beat it? So, yeah. It's about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's magic.
I'm staying behind the year on the Assassin's Creeds.
Which... I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that you did beat a game before him or the fact that you beat the game in the same year that it came out.
I know, that was what was really impressive, to be honest.
But yeah, Brotherhood's actually really cool. It feels totally different from Assassin's Creed 2, in my opinion. It feels like...
Have you gotten to the point yet where you're recruiting assassins?
No. I'm only...
That stuff becomes really freaking awesome.
I'm only about maybe 3 hours in, but I can just tell, like, the cutscenes are a little bit more... there's more cutscenes involved, and there's a lot of, like, action sequences. More than just open world, oh, go chase this guy down. It's more like I'm climbing something, then all of a sudden something explodes. You know, it's got almost like a little bit of an Uncharted feel to it.
By the way, have fun with the tank level.
The tank level.
Yeah. You'll know when you get there.
I know I was shooting cannonballs at the beginning of it, and that was not really fun, but...
No.
Okay. Well, can't wait, so... But yeah, I think that that'll be the next game I finish in 2012. Actually, that was the first one. But yeah, other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Trying to imagine, I played a few Steam games and stuff like that, but nothing really significant. Yeah, that's it. I played a lot of King of Fighters.
All right, well, we'll move on to John.
Well, after ripping the piss out of Ryan, the main game I've been playing over the last month is Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Solely because I wanted to go and get the achievement for playing it twice, and also the first time I played it and saved everybody, I then done a new game plus, which means I had to play it twice if I want the save to carry over to 3. So I wanted to get that done before Mass Effect 3 comes out in March. So I played a hell of a lot of that, another 30 hours worth. That game, even second time round, that game's incredible. And I'm so stoked for 3. I really hope they don't screw it over. Hopefully the multiplayer aspect isn't going to take away from the development of the single player, but no one BioWare, they should, fingers crossed, do a good job and don't do what they did with Dragon Age 2. Other than that, what else have I played? Saints Row the Third. Talk about that later. I'll tell you what I did play. Picked up Driver San Francisco. It's quite cheap. That game's awesome.
Indeed.
That game is proper good. And
what did they do differently? Because I played that demo and it was crap.
It's bonkers. The game is completely, the story is completely irrelevant, pretty much to the game itself. What you're playing, I mean, it's essentially just driving around. Is why I haven't come across any on foot sections. Hopefully there won't be any, but it's just completely bonkers. You're jumping into these other drivers to help save citizens of San Francisco, and there's variety in what you're doing. So there's chase downs. There's there's one where you have to scare the bejesus out of a driving instructor, and it's just really weird, because I don't think any of the fun that I have will be in following the story. I think it will all be in the side stuff and the stuff that's incidental to it, but the story itself is just, so far, just really odd. It's like whoever had come up with the concept of, you know, Driver, the franchise has been pretty shit for quite a few years. And the meeting that they had said, well, I tell you what, let's make the guy be in a coma, but think he's not, and then thinks he's suddenly got superpowers that allow him to transport his consciousness into the drivers of other cars. Who thought of that? That's weird.
I think they did the story just to explain the mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, so again, it's kind of incidental to the game, it's good. I liked it. I'm enjoying it. The only reason why I stopped playing is because I wanted to go through and really get on with my Mass Effect. I'm done that now, so I probably will go back to that. I haven't really put much else in. A little bit of Rayman as well, but again, I'll talk about that later. So, tie a bow on it.
I thought you said tie bow.
Tie a bow on it.
What? All right. I'll move on to Mr. Wombat.
I played Skyrim this week.
Awesome.
The end. And last week. And the week before that.
And that's what you'll play next week.
And right now, because I saw it pop up on Raptor.
Yes.
Correct. How can you play a game and concentrate at the same time about talking about games?
You know what? Magic.
Multitask, and that's incredible.
That's right.
Well, that's what I like to hear.
I'm 61 hours in. I finished the Thieves Guild. I finished the Companions Guild. I wandered around and killed a lot of things. But I still have only done really the first part of the main quest.
The most important question is, have you yet taken an arrow to the knee?
I'm sure I probably have. I've taken plenty of arrows, but I've never really paid attention to where they hit me. So
you know what's going on right now? Ken is trying to figure out how we can reach through Skype and smack you upside the head.
Sorry, I had to put it in. Come on, it's the meme of the day.
You know what? It was the meme of the day the first 30 seconds it came out. It's not even fucking funny anymore.
You've got no sense. Clearly all of your Christmas spirit has been sucked dry.
I'm sorry.
By the way, Christmas spirit is what I call my little thing, which is actually rather huge.
You know you have about 15 different names for your little thing?
That's right. It depends, it's like on Sauron, the season. Which is also a nickname.
shouldn't it be called Menorah?
Hey, look, if it were multi-pronged like a menorah, I would have women lined up out the door.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. This conversation went wonderful places. Let me guess your future fondling, Wombat.
Well, I probably more Skyrim.
I look into my crystal ball and I see Skyrim.
Yeah. No, I would probably start playing Assassin's Creed Revelation here pretty soon, too. So, and then I still am hoping to get Zelda from Gamefly. So we'll see if any of that happens, and if not, more Skyrim.
All right, so I guess I will move on to Mr. Menorah.
Let's see. Over the break, I played a bunch of Android games on my tablet that I'm not going to bother talking about, and Skylanders and Darksiders. I picked it up for $5, free shipping from Best Buy. It was freaking glorious. So I am playing that right now. I think I'm about halfway through, unless there's, you know, kind of something that gets popped up in the middle. But I finished the first two major dungeons. And I'm collecting all of my shards and artifacts and all
that.
Yeah,
you're not halfway through.
Nope.
Son of a bitch!
That game is one of those games where when you think it's over, you've got another, like, 12 to 15 hours to go.
Oh, that's a good game. What? I still need to play that, to be fair.
Maybe it just felt like that long. But, I love that game. I don't want it to sound like I'm bashing the game. I just was really trying to beat it before I played Mass Effect 2. And it felt like I could never finish it because it just kept going and going and going. But it's awesome at the end, so.
Okay. Well, it looks like I've been pulling a few all-nighters because I actually I want to try to get through it.
When's 2 out? February? March?
No.
It won't be till the end of the year next year.
Oh, okay. I thought that was coming out early part. That gives me some extra time then. Cool.
Yeah, and then this, you know, I'm going to be playing Darksiders pretty much primarily. Oh, I did play some WWE 12. The community creations was horribly broken, and now it's just broken. It's really hard to maintain a stable connection to it and download stuff. But I did manage to download a bunch of really, really cool things that people have created. There's a fantastic Ultimate Warrior with four different outfits, and someone made all of the original Power Rangers.
Wow.
Yeah. So, including green and white.
Sweet.
You have two Tommies? Wait a minute.
Two Tommies.
Oh, fucking A.
God.
Tommy was like the best Power Ranger ever.
Jesus Christ, we're not having a Power Rangers conversation, are we?
So there's also like a Spider-Man, a Carnage, a Batman, a Joker. There are a bunch of Mortal Kombat characters. So I've got like Noob and Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
I'll just play Mortal Kombat.
All I'm going to say about the game is that it is probably the best that the series has been. I really enjoy a lot of things that they've done in terms of the presentation of the game. So, and then, yeah, so I'm pretty much at this point going to be playing Darksiders until it's done. And that's it.
Sweet nectar.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I don't.
You got an Android tablet?
I do.
I would kind of peg you for an iPad dude.
Yeah, I'm still interested in getting an iPad, but, Woot was running a deal for, like, $330 shipped for a Zoom.
Oh, the Zooms are awesome.
Yeah, so what I'm doing, when I travel to events, and I've got two coming up in the near future, is all I need to do is take my tablet, my Bluetooth keyboard, and my Apple Bluetooth mouse, and connect all of them, and I can type up everything I need to right on the tablet. I mean, I know I could probably do that on the iPad also, but I can also, I find that because it is Flash enabled and still so many websites are using Flash that I can get done a lot of things I need to get done. Plus I have an FTP client on it. So if there's assets that need to get downloaded, I haven't figured out quite how to do it, but I put all that stuff on the tablet.
Cool.
So for travel, it's really handy. I'm still very interested in an iPad, but it was half the price.
Yeah.
And okay. We're looking to buy a house, so there's that.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Houses are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, especially in New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine.
Drew, you can't talk about it. You're in Georgia.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Would you spend like $499?
No. I mean, truth be told, I ain't afraid to say it. I spent $50,000 on my house.
And that's nothing.
You spent what?
$50,000.
Wow. We're looking at getting approved for a mortgage for $700,000, and that will get us a house that still needs some update.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling on it. Although we won't pay that much here in Ohio, but still. 50K here is like a shack.
Yeah. When we were in Rochester,
well,
our house, which was great for
this shack's
for
got
the size
three
of our
bedroom,
family.
Two bath, my friend.
I'm joking.
We spent $135 on our house in Rochester, and it was if we'd stayed in Rochester, we would have needed to move just for size purposes. Like it was a little crowded for you know, two of us and two kids, and
you could always sell the kids.
You know, I've tried. eBay apparently has issues with that.
Alrighty, then.
I was going to try to do it like GameStop's doing Skylanders. Like, you know, random pick, no guarantee.
There you go. Well, speaking of Skylanders, I apparently dove in.
Another converter.
Exactly.
You know what? Say all you want. It's a great fucking game.
I've never played it. I couldn't.
It's a great game. But I'm
telling you, man. Do you see what I mean, though, about being like a training RPG for kids? Like an introducing concepts that we take for granted?
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's some cool stuff in there, like the puzzles, the lock puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally an advertisement, then. I love how they say, would you like to preview? No, that's a commercial.
Yeah.
For another figure that you have a power for, but you don't own.
Yeah, see, for those who haven't played it, you pick up these soul gems that unlock this one special ability for each character. So each character has a soul gem hidden in the game.
But yeah, that game's totally aimed at children, and I don't know if I was the only one who felt uncomfortable when the game started talking to me.
Hello, Portal Master!
And calling me young Portal Master, I felt like somebody was lowering...
Hello, Portal Master. I felt like to come and check out my windowless van?
That's what I'm saying. I felt like they were luring me into their van with the mole.
I have candy and puppies, Portal Master.
Oh my god, that game... Yeah, it's really good.
I'm a football coach.
It's really, really good.
Or a religious person.
It's a really, really good game. It's just... It's a total marketing suck. Be careful of letting your children around it.
Too late.
Especially your older children, you know, in their 30s.
Yes,
sir. As I've already spent...
they have money.
I have already spent too much money on these crazy figures.
And three more coming out this month.
And...
It blows my mind that you're doing this, Ken.
But the sculpts are really good. The figures are actually really sturdy. They're really cool looking.
I get addicted to leveling each one of them up is my problem. And opening
buying, having to make sure you have enough treasure for each to actually buy their powers.
Cause you got
did you finish Dragon Age 2?
No.
There you go. Then do that.
I thought about that, but see, here's another thing. I did finish a game. And you can kiss my ass because you were on me about it. I finished Dungeon Siege.
Oh, I finally, thank God.
Hey, you know what? I didn't play it. I didn't play it. I put it in. I played it for 1 week and beat it. So
that is on my list of games to circle back to.
And that
probably
game,
when it's $5 at the end of this year.
That game was freaking awesome.
It was.
Absolutely love that game. I still have a save. Because, as Drew, be the only other person who beat it, knows, once you go into the final area, you're done. You can't go back. So,
you talking about Dungeon Siege?
Yes.
You know, I've beat a bitch.
Motherfucker, I wasn't talking to you.
where the hell did that even come from? It's like tapping him on the shoulder in the alley and punching him in the face. Dude, I wasn't even talking to you. I wasn't hitting on your girlfriend.
Okay, as Drew and John know, once you go into the final area, you cannot come back out. So I kept a save outside so I could go do the DLC, which I have yet to do.
That DLC. Final area took a long time, didn't it?
That final area is a pain in the ass. That was my least favorite part of the game. I was ready for it to be over, and the final boss fight, well, the final 16 boss fights.
Yeah, they keep running away. She ran away again. Oh, no.
She ran away. Go fight her again. She ran away. Go fight her. I was like, oh, fuck this. And then when they told me I had to go through a whole other area, I'm like, oh, I hate you. But outside of that, it was a great game. I also played, for review, I played a couple arcade games. I like how they ease us into the new year. I played All Zombies Must Die, which is a It's a top-down twin-stick shooter with zombies, which is about the most original idea available on the market today.
Well, it's a sequel to Burn Zombie Burn, right?
I don't think so.
It's made by the same people.
Who made the first one?
The 760 or something like that.
760 is a publisher.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, 760 is publishing that new Skullgirl.
Oh, yeah.
Phantom. Ugly Girl? Girl?
Skullgirl?
No, it's Phantom.
No, it's not Skullgirl. What's the one that we're still working on here in the thing for?
Double Six is the developer of this game.
Double Six. There you go. I'm pretty sure they're the ones
that
did Burn Zombie Burn.
Oh, well. I don't know. I don't think it's a sequel because it's not like that one. That Burn Zombie Burn was just a mindless twin stick shooter, right?
No.
Well, this one, you actually have a big open world. You can go pretty much anywhere on the map you want. It's basically just the town you're stuck in. You can find areas like the police station, set them up as your bases. That's where you can level up items, level up your character, upgrade your weapons, add abilities to them, things like that. My biggest complaint about the game is that when you go into an area, there's like these gates that are computerized gates, and they all want you to do something before you can go through the gate. So moving between areas, you basically have to go, hey, guess what? I want you to kill 1,600 zombies for me before you can move on. The other game that I played for review was NFL Blitz.
Blitz?
Which, if you've played Blitz, you've played Blitz.
It's a tweet. There you go. Except I mean, without the late hits.
It's not bad. It's actually very good. It's very well done. I do like the new fighting game tier, where basically you have to go through this list and you've got bosses that you've got to face.
What?
Yeah, it's like you know, when you go through a single player in a fighting game, you got that big tower you got to climb.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's like that in this. You pick a team, and then you have to go through the regular teams, and then every three or four games you play a boss, which is just some, like, ridiculous characters that you can unlock, like ninjas or stuff like that. And it's actually really, really cool. The online is done really cool because you can team up with another player and create, like, this fantasy team. Which obviously I couldn't do a whole lot of. There's not a lot of people online when I was playing it before it came out. But then you can earn these Blitz bucks that you can use to unlock hidden characters and cheat codes and stuff like that. So, I mean, for the price, it's really good, especially if you like Blitz. It's got all the teams. The rosters are the rosters. It's not like you're going to get a roster update. So you just have to live with what you got. But it is really well done. Really well done game. And I think that was it. As far as future right now, it's probably going to be more Skylanders.
Sweet.
I'm going to finish it, and hopefully get, because usually when I finish a game, I can stop being addicted to it. So maybe if I finish it, I'll stop buying these damn toys.
So, which ones do you have?
I have the ones that came with it. Mike sent me his extra stealth elf, which I have yet to use. I did buy a single Voodooed and a 3-pack, which had Zap, Hex, and who's the other one in that pack?
Pikachu.
No, it's not Pikachu.
I think his name is You're a Nerd.
All right, 60 hours in a fantasy world.
Ooh.
Anyway.
So do you have Boomer?
So
no,
it's
I don't.
Zap, Hex, and Dino-Rang.
Dino-Rang.
No, it's not. No,
yeah,
no.
Dino-Rang's in it. That's the other one I have.
Oh, okay, cool. So you got two of the new ones in.
It was the thing is I didn't have a choice. It's the only one they had, so I just kind of had to pick it.
So I take it you don't have Boomer?
No, I don't have choices right now. They're sold out everywhere.
Cause,
did you not read my article?
Of course I read your article. I know they're
not you. Him.
Jason doesn't read our website.
Yeah, I do. I read the article.
So we have this website that we run where we post news and opinion pieces and reviews.
I read it.
I think Jason was about to offer me
that he didn't have Boomer because I have an extra one.
Oh, then you need to give it to me.
Did you get the Stealth Elf I sent you?
Yeah, I got it yesterday.
Did he not listen to what he just said?
Yeah, really. I said I got Stealth Elf that Mike sent me.
I was out of the room beating my children. I don't listen to everything when I'm doing that. I can't multitask like Wombat.
Yeah, see, I'm beating my kid right now.
But he's doing it. He's doing it quietly, so nobody else knows.
That's actually not a euphemism, right?
Actually, right now I'm eating my child's goldfish.
Oh my god! See, when they die, you're just supposed to flush them down the toilet.
Oh,
that's nasty. Well, I'd appreciate an extra toy, Jason. We can trade toys on the playground.
Sweet. Sometime this week, like maybe on one of my 2 days off, I'll drop by. If you're not home, I'll drop it in your mailbox.
That's what I've always wanted, is a Boomer in my mailbox.
Funny, did my Skylander come today?
Hey, man, I packaged that Skylander. I put the card neatly in cardboard so that it would get there without getting wrinkled.
Hey, you know what? My wife was making fun of me while I was playing it, but she advocated the fact that I went out and bought, you know, $40 worth of toys. So, whatever. I found them, I bought them, and we'll see. But yeah, I only need two more elements and I'm kosher.
You need air.
I need air and fire, which isn't Boomer fire?
No, Boomer's tech.
Okay, well, never mind. I still need a fire then.
Yeah, you need a flame slinger or eruptor. Eruptor's awesome. He poops fire.
Why is Spyro not a fire? He's a dragon.
He's magic.
Nah, he's magic.
Oh.
Come on,
that
Drew.
Makes sense.
I played the game for about an hour.
Spyro's magic?
Duh.
Yeah.
Buster, die yourself, man.
I don't want to learn all about these toys.
I'm more about the steel type.
Never mind.
Pokemon.
Anyway, that's it. But like I said, this feature following, I'm going to try to finish that up. Because, you know what's funny is everybody on the show that's been talking about that game, I'm further than you in it.
It's true. You're further than I am.
So, there you go. That's how I roll.
Metal be on its way.
Yeah, probably. But that wraps up the fondling. So, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and start the Game of the Year picks and see where we are to see what we have time left for.
Oh.
So, what?
So how do you want to
do it? I wasn't aware that we were doing Game of the Year.
Oh.
Yours is Skyrim, we know.
Well, why don't I do this? Why don't I let you go last?
Okay. So you can make the rest of your list up. You know, right. Skyrim 1.
Well, let me get a piece of paper real quick.
There
Skyrim
you go.
2. Skyrim 3.
All right.
Seriously, how do you want to do this?
We're going to go one person at a time. But it's as simple as that. One person at a time.
But you just want our top 10?
You can, like, whatever your list is.
Okay.
That's right. Whatever your list is kosher. Try not to take too long on your games. I mean, obviously.
No, I'm just going
to
rattle mine off.
Right.
So we're good. But see, Wombat gets the...
talk about mine.
Well, you can talk about it for a little bit. That's fine. I just don't want to spend 20 minutes on each person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but Wombat gets the advantage because you get to hear everybody else's and then anything he might have forgotten.
Yeah.
So there you go. So I will start with Gambus Khan in tradition.
Oh, well, my runner-up for Game of the Year will be Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. It's a really awesome game. However, it would have been my Game of the Year if not for Skyrim, which is my Game of the Year, which is sad, really, because I've only played about 7.5 hours worth of it, you know? So it's like, I just don't even really know about the game, you know? I mean, it's kind of difficult for me to pick a Game of the Year because I'm pretty ADD when it comes to gaming nowadays. I don't even think I beat a game this whole year. I mean, outside of like fighting games, which take
or
like
iPhone games,
I did kind of sort of beat Infinity Blade until Michael busted my bubble and told me, "Oh, you haven't beat it yet at all. You're still like 100 hours away." But
well, you could go ahead and beat it if you just want to spend like real money to, you know, be able to buy the Infinity Blade, and then you can go finish it.
I already spent real money on the game, and that's
as
much as I'm spending until I get my new iPhone 4S, and then I'll probably buy the sequel.
Oh, Jesus. So you got to buy new phones to play new games.
It actually works on the 3S, but I heard that, like, some of the lighting and, I guess, reflective effects don't work quite as well.
Phones really are computers now.
They are. The 4S has a dual-core processor.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I wonder if it'll run Crysis.
But can it run Crysis? So you only had two games?
Honorable mentions would be... I played a lot of, like, you know, underground games. I'm not much of a mainstream gamer. I mean, I the other games that I played that would be honorable mentions would be like El Shaddai, which I think I'm about halfway through, and Catherine, which I'm also about halfway through.
When you say underground titles, are you talking about the sort of games that, like the lesser known Get in the Van, Bitch? Which was quite a big hit underground.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how to respond to that.
I think I'd play that game, to be fair.
Get in the Van, Bitch.
Yeah, John played that in 3D.
Anyway. What I mean by, you know, mainstream or non-mainstream is basically a lot of your quirky Japanese games. And also this year I picked up a lot of portable games, a lot of portable games that are essentially like Japanese games that came out years ago, but were just finally coming out over here in the States, like some of the, like Persona 2 and stuff like that. So it's this year, I mean, in terms of like mainstream gaming, this past like 2 months, I've been like the only time this whole year I even really played like games that would be like in the top 10 sales of like a month or something like that. But if I had to pick a third one, because I owned it momentarily, I do plan on picking this up again in the future, but I needed some cash, and that was Batman Arkham City. That would be my third favorite in terms of how I feel that overall quality of the game was fantastic.
All right, well, Wombat, I know that wasn't much help. So,
played a lot of iPhone games too. So,
you're definitely becoming a different breed of gamer, Jason.
Well, married life does to you.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I was this way last few years actually, but yeah.
I was gonna say there's more than 50% of the podcast is married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll move on to somebody else who wasn't married, which is Drew.
Okay.
He just didn't tell us.
Yeah, I've been married for 10 years. 3 kids. No, so I'm more traditional with mine. I've had my list out probably for about 3-4 weeks now. And so here we go. Number 10, A Dungeon Siege 3.
Nice.
Ooh. Yes. I was tempted to put that on, even though I know it's got a lot of shit from other sites. It was a close call for me as well.
I don't care what anybody says. Obsidian redeemed themselves with that game.
I enjoyed it.
It was a fantastic game, and I think that anybody out there who enjoys RPGs, particularly loot poor games, pick it up. Definitely. It's real cheap now too. Number 9, Deus Ex, The Human Revolution. I was a naysayer of that game back in, you know, before it came out. And when I sat down and played it, I just kind of like, I fell in love with the overall world. The combat itself and the sneaking around got monotonous after a while. And the only thing that really helped me pull through was that story. And the ending, all the endings were very, very good, but the ending that I chose was freaking powerful. It was really, really good and kind of makes you think. You know, and that's what I really loved about Deus Ex. And it is kind of thought-provoking because, truth be told, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's happening in that game, we're going toward that right now. I'm not talking about like robotics and stuff like that. I'm talking about how the media kind of runs things and how things can get twisted and conspiracies and stuff like that. I mean, that stuff is closer to the truth than what you think. But Deus Ex was fantastic. I'd say it was a little bit too long, but other than that, great game. Number 8, which I don't think anybody else will have on their list, Killzone 3. That game blew me away. I hated Killzone 2 single player with a passion. Hated it. And then I played the single player Killzone 3, and it was 10 times better.
It almost made my list.
Killzone 3 was fantastic. Now, that's just single player stuff. The multiplayer, I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says, Call of Duty has got nothing on Killzone 3's multiplayer.
Agreed.
That multiplayer is solid, it's fun, and it's very accessible. Anybody can play that game.
My problem with Killzone 3's multiplayer is I feel like the balance is off.
There's two classes. Well, the tactician. I love the tactician. No, the tactician is the one that can capture stuff faster.
Oh, wait, not the tactician. The ones that can go invisible, like, all the time.
The infiltrator and the other one that can disguise himself.
Yep.
Those two classes need to leave. Get rid of those two classes and kill them.
Or they just need to be nerfed a little bit. I mean, they don't need to completely leave, but they need to be nerfed.
I don't see how you could do that because everybody plays as those classes.
Well, that's evidence that they need to be nerfed.
Yeah, but I mean, how are you going to... Well, either way, that's for another discussion. But yeah, Killzone 3, amazing, amazing first-person shooter. That was the game that got me back into first-person shooters. Kinda. I mean, I'm still kind of a, you know, I'm treading water in the first-person shooter pond right now. But number seven, I can't count today. But number seven is a game that nobody played because look at the sales numbers. But you know what? They should have. Shadows of the Damned. That game is pure fun. There's no going around it. It's funny. The writing is fantastic. It's goofy. It makes no sense at times. The shooting is great. It's everything that I love because I love Shinji Mikami. I love Suda 51, and you mix those two guys together, and it's just insane. I think that Suda kind of toned down the weirdness in it a little bit. Yeah, that game's weird, but it's nothing like Killer 7 or No More Heroes. And I think that's what works for him. He's found a good medium. And if they make a second one, which they probably won't, I'm totally going to buy it. I can't suggest that game enough. But number six, the game that I love to have kill me, Dark Souls. It is 10 times bigger than Demon's Souls, 10 times harder than Demon's Souls. But my God, I love that game. I put over 30 hours into it whenever I was doing my review, and I kind of went away from it because, you know, there was other games coming out and stuff like that. And I'm totally going to start back, probably after I finish Assassin's Creed, I'm going to start back playing that again and want to beat it. Because that game, my ex-roommates that I used to live with, they both got the game, both finished it. It took both of them over 60 hours to beat that game.
They're still got to play Demon's Souls yet? Christ.
Yeah, there's so much. Well, you know what? The funny thing is, you go play Dark Souls for, you know, a good amount of hours, go back and play Demon's Souls. Demon's Souls is fucking cakewalk compared to Dark Souls. So, yeah. But Dark Souls, you know. And what was so great about it was I saw how successful it was. Because it made, like, what, number 6 or 5 on the NPDs for that month? Which was kind of impressive. And it goes to show you that there's a lot of people out there who are still into hardcore gaming. Because, you know, you casual guys are not going to pick this game up. Even if their friends tell them, holy crap, you need to play this game. And it still did well. And there's a reason why it did well. It is very unique. It's like Demon's Souls, but even more unique. I've never seen anything like the multiplayer handled in any way like that. It's just, there's so many small touches to that game that make it amazing.
What also helps when you put it on multiple systems.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say that.
That's a bigger, bigger market. And yep. 360 guys, you know, you can call fanboyism all day you want, but 360 guys are more likely to buy niche titles for some reason.
Really? You think so?
Oh, well, look at the sales of the first-party games for PS3. Even the PS3 guys don't buy those. You know what I mean? I don't understand it. I don't understand why every first-party Sony title this year did not make NPDs first week it was out. Because every one of them were top quality.
That's true.
I don't understand it. I just
How did Killzone 3 do?
It didn't do that well.
Really?
And that was released early in the year. Because my original thought was they shotgunned so many first-party titles at the end of the year. But if Killzone 3 didn't do well...
I mean, it did decent.
I just wonder if it's a problem with the way that Sony is communicating with their diehard fans.
I don't know. I think they're doing a good job, though. I mean, they have decent advertisements, and
I don't understand it. They do nothing wrong.
Yeah,
that's my problem with it.
There's, they can't win from losing. Over
the Christmas period in the UK, you couldn't go a couple of programs without seeing a massive advert for PlayStation highlighting Battlefield, Uncharted, and FIFA. And you're talking about millions of people watch them, and yet still the PlayStation 3 gets devoted little space in the game stores, and it's and you wonder why is it because that. Now people automatically think that the Xbox is a gaming console of choice, but the sales figures right for the consoles are pretty much par on par now, aren't they?
360 outsells Wii and PS3 over the holidays.
Yeah.
Mm. By quite a margin, actually.
The reason why is because of Call of Duty, because Xbox has been dubbed the Call of Duty machine.
Part of it is because of the arrangement that they have with Activision, but I think a large part of it is party chat makes a huge difference. Being able to coordinate a game before everybody loads it up makes a big difference.
That's very true. I mean, and I'm totally a PS3 fanboy, but you know, I can say that the PS3, the way it handles online is shitty sometimes. Because they basically have every game that comes out on it basically has to they have to rely on themselves to make the online work instead of having it integrated with the PlayStation Network. You know,
they need a more streamlined system for their next console, I think.
Definitely. But
well, hopefully they'll learn lessons.
All right, my number 5 may surprise some people. That's not higher on my list. Number 5 is Batman: Arkham City.
Oh,
that game was great. But it wasn't as good as Arkham Asylum.
I will have to disagree with you, sir.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'm in your corner.
I just think that like I'm saying, this game is great. High production value, amazing, amazing gameplay, graphics, voice acting, story. But it felt like too much of anything can make you an addict. Too much of anything, it can be bad. And I think they just tried to jam so much stuff into that game that it just kind of made it feel kind of lackluster.
Well, it felt like that when they made Arkham Asylum, no one expected that to turn out the way it did. No one had high hopes. It got countless awards, fantastic scores, made a ton of money. And then it's like it's gone to their head. It's like, oh, we need to put more in, we need to put more bad guys in, we need to try and power this way out, we need to go bigger, 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 bigger. And I completely agree with you. I thought it was less is more in the case, and I preferred Asylum over City.
I just think everything was more condensed in Arkham Asylum than it was in City. City was just, it was like everything was spread just a little bit too thin.
I found a lot of cases where I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know where to turn, what to do next.
To me, the biggest thing that got me about Arkham City was I never wanted to stay on ground level whenever I was traveling. I didn't give a crap about it. I was always just flying, you know, just gliding everywhere. And I was like, what a waste of space whenever the player, me, doesn't want to go down onto this gigantic city and explore. Because for the most part, it was just a bunch of darkness. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, discrediting the game at all. I think it's a fantastic game. It's a great Batman game. I'm a huge Batman fan, and I really did enjoy it. I just think I don't think it was as good as the first game. So, but I mean, still number 5 on my list. So I definitely pick it up. I'm not kidding around about that. I mean, yeah, if you haven't played Batman: Arkham City, you need it. Number 4, Saints Row the 3rd. So, when they first announced this game, I didn't give two shits about it. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, Saints Row. I played the first one and it was okay, and the second one I really didn't like. And, the announcement trailer was a bunch of logos and then a guy punching a guy in the nuts and then that's it. And I was like, yeah, this is fucking stupid.
Yes, it was.
And then I watched the actual gameplay of it. Like, what was his name? Drew Holmes, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sat down and played it and talked to, you know, the viewers. And when I saw him bulldog a guy and then strike a pose at the camera, I was like, I got to get this game. And I am so glad that I did, because Saints Row the Third is awesome. That game. What can I say about that? That game has every friggin' thing in it.
It's got Burt Reynolds.
It's got Burt Reynolds in it.
Fucking Reynolds.
Burt fucking Reynolds. It's got zombies. It's got fucking Tron. It's got a text adventure game in it.
You can play as a
Hold up. You said the T word.
Yes. It has a Tron level.
Correct.
It does?
Yes.
With a giant sword battle.
It has a giant mech sword battle.
And the giant mech battle is freaking awesome.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Tron level, they make artificial lag.
And you make yourself as a toilet.
Yes. You get turned into a toilet and a sex doll.
This game sounds completely nuts.
It is completely nuts.
Why am I a toilet again?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just a bunch of hoes and gangbangers.
Yeah,
that's not safe.
No, there's that too.
Yeah, it is. But the writing is so goddamn clever in the game.
It was. It's actually being nominated for best writing, along with Bastion and Portal 2.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
Holy cow! I'm gonna have to check this out.
It's like it's so weird how they do the writing in that game. It's like they're totally making fun of themselves, and if they did it and then stopped, it would be lame. But they just keep going with it.
Yeah,
like
they never retire. It's there. It's in virtually everything you do. But it still seems really, really subtle. The poking, the gentle prod at themselves. You know, this is a video game. Ha ha ha! Aren't we clever? But it's never overhanded.
His hand is so smart.
And
I think it's fantastic. And, you know, people out there who don't like open world games, or people out there who, you know, oh, it's just a Grand Theft Auto clone, you don't know what you're talking about.
Grand Theft Auto 5 should hope it's as good as Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you it's not going to be.
The only thing I wish about Saints Row the Third is that it was longer.
Well, I think the DLC is going to be fantastic.
I hope so, because I'm kind of done with the game. I've done everything you can possibly do outside of some of the more mundane stuff, and I want
more.
Yeah, I've
done all of the challenges, but my thing says 100%.
There you go. I think, fantastic game. They've already announced that they're making the fourth one, and I say bring it.
Yep, and the DLC, the DLCs should start dripping out this month or next.
He got the season pass. So.
Yeah, I got the season pass with it because I ordered it directly from THQ. So that was fucking awesome.
That's cool.
So yeah, Volition, fantastic job.
Yep.
My number three, Infamous 2. I freaking love that game. I'm a huge Infamous fan. I always have. I've loved the story. I love Cole McGrath. I love him being a villain. And that is, you know, we did that on our little spoiler podcast that we did. And it fits him so well. And the story, 10 times better in this game. Yeah, there are a few little plot holes here and there. But they did a fantastic job with it. They made Zeke likable. And I thought that was impossible.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic game. I can't suggest that enough. I mean, there's nothing really more I can say about it. I mean, anybody who's a hardcore gamer knows Infamous and has probably played it. And, I mean, it's just, you know, who doesn't want to be a superhero, you know? An open world game superhero with electric powers or ice.
Fire or ice. Fire.
And it was fantastic. I love the story. I love the writing. I love the characters. It was great. And since I'm such a fan of the series, you know. I'm curious of how they're going to do a third one. Can they do a third one? I don't know. All right. See, the problem is there's two very distinct endings. And if they go with the good ending as the canon, That's a cop-out. Bad.
See, we talked about this, though, and I think that they're going to be make it done in such a way that... I don't know, but, you know, the game's been out only for 6 months. I don't think we should spoil it. But
yeah, no. Especially since I haven't played it.
Yeah. No, we're not going to go into spoiler territory with it, but, I mean, yeah, just... Yeah, it's a fantastic game. Definitely pick it up if you haven't. It's great, and it's cheap now, probably. Definitely cheap now. Actually, it's the greatest hits now, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is. My number two, and this is going to surprise a lot of people. My number two is Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. What can I say about that game?
Nothing.
It's, I think
it's already been all been said.
Everything has been said and then some. You know, I mean, there's everybody's talking about this game. People have asked me about this game from like where I work that I don't even think I've ever even touched a video game controller. I said, "What's that Skyrim game?" It's like it's fucking awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's Skyrim. It's the biggest world I've ever seen in my life. It's deep. They did a fantastic job with customization, leveling up system. You know, you don't have to jump around now to level up your acrobatics. I think, God, that game is amazing. Yeah, it had some problems, especially with the PS3 version. I played the PS3 version. Luckily, I didn't have that many problems with it. But, I mean, they're at least trying to keep up with the support of it. The DLC hasn't even came out yet. And apparently they're planning like 5 or 6 DLC packs for it. So there's even more to come for that game. And if you haven't played it, what the hell is wrong with you? And my number one. This is going to shock some people. And I bet you people have even forgot about this game. My number one is Dead Island.
Wow.
There is a reason why I have
because
put
of the homie 40, jump.
Yeah, the homie jump is part of it, and the hoodoo you voodoo bitch. I don't care what anybody says. There's a reason why I put 47 hours in that game.
Yep.
Because that game is awesome.
I'm sorry because I stepped out for just a second. Was there a fighting game on your top 10?
No.
Interesting.
Not a single one. But I will talk about it in my honorable mentions. There will be some in my honorable mentions. Dead Island. I've been following this game since it was announced back in 2007. And all they said was, you're this guy who crashed on from an airplane onto an island and there's zombies there. And it's first person, but it's not a shooter. It's a brawler. And I said, fucking count me in. And then nothing came out about it. You didn't hear anything about it for 4 years. Then they released this trailer that blew everybody away. And I was like, holy shit, they're still making this game. And I got excited again. Because that trailer was awesome. And then the game came out. And it had absolutely nothing to do with the fucking trailer. But it was still a great game. They did change up a little bit of the plot. They changed up how the game was supposed to work. They made it more of an RPG. But you know what? I'm fine with that. They made Zombie Borderlands. And the game is huge, it's long, it's beautiful. And it blew me away, and it lived up to its expectations. That is the thing. That is the one game that I have been anticipating for a long time that actually lived up to the hype for me. It may have been different from what other people expected, but damn, was that game good. And that's my top 10. I know that may piss some people off that I was going to put Skyrim as my number one, but then I sat back and thought, I was like, you know, Dead Island just, you know, that, you know, I had been waiting so long for that game. And that was my most anticipated game, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And that right there is a feat in and of itself. Because most of the time, when I'm excited for a game for a long time, and it comes out, I'm always disappointed. I was not disappointed with Dead Island. But if you want me to mention my honorable mentions, I have a fucking list. And it's a big list.
Just rattle them off.
I'm going to rattle them off, but I will just say this. My honorable mentions are games that I played this year that I think everybody should play. They may not be the greatest in the world, but everybody should at least rent them or play them. All right, Crysis 2, The King of Fighters 13, Mortal Kombat, L.A. Noire, Sonic Generations, Dungeon Defenders, Disgaea 4, A Promise Unforgotten, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, Online Edition, Catherine, Radiant Historia, Mark Lung, Revenge of the Bitch. Yes, that's a real game. Lord of the Rings, War in the North, Bastion, Dead Space 2, Sequence, Dragon Age 2, El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron, and Rage.
All right.
Sweet.
I have disappointments, but I want to save that to the end.
All right, well, I'll move on to John then.
Well, I think I'll get my honorable mentions out of the way first. I've only got a few. Rage, almost made the top 10. Driver San Francisco, solely because I think it may have made the top 10 had I played it to completion. I'd also like to mention Joe Danger and Renegade Ops as two fantastic downloadable games this year.
I forgot about Joe Danger, yeah.
Been absolutely class, both of those games. And also Full House Poker. I feel that the Xbox or Microsoft Studios got playing poker with your avatar spot on with that. It was brilliant. And also FIFA 12 and Modern Warfare 3. Now, they are both exceptional games, and they are, enjoyed them thoroughly. However, by taking them out of the top 10, it does give me two more places to put in other games. FIFA and COD now are annual franchises. It goes without saying that they're brilliant. It would be unfair to take off two other games out of the top 10 just to put them in. I'd also like to give a quick shout out to Mr. Pyrite, who played FIFA with me this week, and I whooped his ass! The 10. Oddly, it's turned its head around for 10, because at the beginning of the year, I thought this game would be at the top, and that's Uncharted 3. It's a fantastic game. The story is really well done. The acting is brilliant. The set pieces are fantastic. But there were underlying issues with that game that, whether you agree with me or not, caused me to, caused the enjoyment of that game to slip considerably for me. But it is still a quality game. Number 9, Rayman Origins. It's how 2D games should be. I have not had so much fun on the couch with my girlfriend in quite some time.
Please tell me somebody else is going to jump on that joke.
No, tell it. I lined it up for you to take a swing at, it was brilliant. It's just so funny. And it's a proper grieving game when you're playing co-op. But it's brilliant. I love it. The art style, the music is so infectious. The characters, the way that they're animated, it's tough as all buggery when you get towards the later levels, but fantastic. Loved it. And it's one of those games that, unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, is going to, has slipped under people's radars. It's not going to really sell that many. And that's a crying shame. So if you ever see that cheap, pick it up. It's worth it. Number 8, Tropico. Tropico 4. Played both PC and Xbox versions of that, and I love them. I know it takes a certain person to play that game. Everyone's not going to enjoy it, but I thought it was well made. The quirky humour and the little characters they put in there as your advisors does make me chuckle. It's not a massive advancement over Tropico 3, but it's still an outstanding game, and I sunk a few hours into that. Number 7, Gears of War 3. which I felt ended on a real high note. They tied the game up incredibly well. It was a nice length campaign. I don't think it was too long or too short. It was just about right, as Goldilocks said. And they broke up the wall high, run behind cover type thing well with the vehicle sections. And there's some genuinely deep moments in that game. And I think Epic have done a fantastic job. Number six, and this is why I wasn't surprised at yours, Drew, is Batman Arkham City. Mm. I've just, you know, it's a great game. I just want to reiterate what Drew said. Great game. I just enjoyed Arkham Asylum more. Still fantastic, as you say, acting, and it looks great, but it was just too much for me. I felt it could have been toned down a little bit and maybe condensed and concentrated in having a few bad guys instead of this whole list. And, you know, fair enough, there's an impressive list, but it was too much going on, to the point where I've played a lot of hours, and I still haven't done a couple of those side missions. The I think the serial killer one was one I done last, but I think I've got one more to do. Just way too much going on in that game, but still absolutely incredible. A feat of game engineering. It works incredibly well. They built on the combat with the multiple counter and the different weapons, and the way that they were integrated into the action. So, well deserved, but it's a little bit lower than I thought it would be. Again, at the beginning of the year, I thought that would be up there, but strange how these things work out. Number five, Dirt 3. As racing games go, it's probably the best racing game I've played since Gran Turismo 2.
Wow.
It's brilliant. It really is. The way it looks, and the way that you can be a complete novice at it or an absolute expert at racing games, it caters for everybody. It's so accessible. I just really enjoyed the Jakarta sections were a little bit tricky, but once you got the hang of them, they were, you know, really got you into it. It was a real skill to learn. Just great fun. You know, if you haven't picked it up and you enjoy racing games, you've got to do it. You've got to go out and get it, because you would not be disappointed. Number four, L.A. Noire. Not only technically astounding with the facial animation, I mean, no other game has done that before in that way. It's mind-blowing and eerily spooky in some cases. But I enjoyed the story. I know some people... I know, Drew, you weren't overly keen on the ending of that game.
Yeah, the last 3 hours of that game ruined it for me.
I felt that the ending was justified. I mean, being a film noir-type game, or taking its influences from those type of movies, I felt the ending was fitting. The parts with the... you can't really spoil it. That's a problem. I can see your grievances with the ending and the way that they tie it up. The killer part, the on-running theme with the Vietnam vet and stuff. I felt that was a little bit poorly handled. But
no, overall,
World War II.
Well, Vietnam. No, was it? Oh, sorry.
Vietnam,
yeah.
Was the 70s.
Oh, yeah, of course it was. Going back into the future, though, that bit when they went back into the 40s after coming out of Vietnam was just really weird. Sorry, yeah, World War II. Don't know what made me think of that. That was a bit poorly handled, but overall I felt the story done well. A real big game. I felt the cases were really interesting in most cases. The DLC I thought was good. If you got the season pass, I felt that was a good bargain. It's a shame that Team Bondi may not ever get may never get to do a game again, but hopefully the technology and maybe hopefully the franchise will have a future. Fingers crossed. Number three, Infamous 2. And again, Drew, I agree with everything you said with that. I prefer going the good way. I know you're more of an evil bastard, but again, making Zeke likable after the first game was probably that game's biggest achievement. But I felt that it played so much better. The movement, and although it's still a little bit sticky, he moved better than he did in the first game. The power was more interesting with the fire and the ice elements. The story was epically huge, and the action sequences were fantastic. And I felt Carl was a more likable character as well in two than he was in one. So, I had so much fun with that game. Collecting all of the shards was even interesting, which I didn't find interesting at all. The side missions were brilliant. Stuff, even though Infamous 1 was a great game, I never felt compelled to do all of the side missions other than the ones that you kind of had to do. Whereas in Infamous 2, you know, I was hungry for more, wanted more. And just testament to the work that that those guys, Insomniac,
Sucker Punch,
thank you. Always get those two mixed up. Sucker Punch put in, was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Two. Okay. Skyrim. I'm sorry, Ryan. But it's my number two, and I will go into reasons. I was very, very torn over my one and two. I don't think there's a bad thing I can say about Skyrim. I mean, I will leave you to wax lyrical about it, Ryan. You are definitely more the expert than I am. But for a game that I had zero interest in, a month before it was released, and to get involved in the hype where everyone was on about it on Twitter, and it was all aglow with Skyrim, you know, arrow to the knee and all that crap, to then pick it up and see, this game is amazing. This game just has so much scope. And I didn't really get on with Oblivion. As Jason said earlier, it never really sort of drew me in. But, from the moment that you set off with Skyrim, you're invested. And the game just keeps on giving. I mean, yes, there are issues with bugs and backwards dragons and things like that, which, you know, will get ironed out over time. It still doesn't take anything away from the enjoyment that I had with that game. Just walking around in the forest in the snow at night, seeing the northern lights, just it's moments like that that you don't see in games, and only Skyrim's really been able to offer that. Every moment you spend in that world is a joy, to the point where I was seriously getting addicted, and I had to start finding other games to play to stop me from putting on Skyrim again and playing it and getting involved, to the point where I cared more about my Skyrim character than I did my own life. It was incredible. However, number one is Saints Row the Third.
I was going to tell you the reason why you said that there's a reason why Skyrim isn't is my number two instead of my number one. I said it's easy because Saints Row the Third's awesome.
Yeah, it is. But I have been I was really torn. I played a little bit of Saints Row on the PC, but I wanted to, I got given it as a gift for Christmas for the Xbox, and that's the one I really wanted to home in on. So I've been home and hiring, and I can tell you the exact point where I thought, that's it, this is my game of the year, and that's the Zemos mission. If any of you have played that, the part where, I mean, one, Zemos as a character, he's got a fucking auto-tuner on his mic where he just sings everything to you. He doesn't talk, he auto-tunes it.
It's completely
tracheotomy, whatever they call it, but it's completely fucking bonkers. It's, what the, again, who thinks of that as a character? And then you meet him, it's hilarious, and then you have to get him out of the place where he's been held, and the oddest mission I've ever seen, where you are racing
exploding gimps.
Exploding gimp chariots, and it's the craziest thing, because it's hardly at high speed, you're being pulled by gimps. And you're shooting the character behind you, they're exploding. And I just sat there and I thought, you know what? Fun doesn't get any better than this. And that's the exact point where I thought, this is it. And the game is, I mean, there are so many touches in that game, so much fun to be had. The side missions, with the exception of maybe the insurance fraud ones, which I have problems with because of the aftertouch stuff, but all of the side missions and side activities are fantastic. The heli attacks, the tank ones are awesome. It's got zombies in it. It's technically got a mission set on Mars. What the hell? It's fantastic.
And one of the DLC packs is actually Gangsters in Space. So there's going to be more of that.
I was with Drew 100% on this. I had fuck all interest in that game because I really didn't get on with 1 and 2. And I saw that video when that guy was running around and doing these wrestling moves. And then he got in the VTOL and he was flying around. And I thought, you know what, this looked quite good. And then to turn it around and be my game of the year, I'm as shocked as anybody. But that game needs playing. And as you say, GTA 5 can learn a lot. And it's odd saying that, bearing in mind that Saints Row is essentially a rip-off of GTA 3, that the creators of that game can do with learning something from Saints Row the Third when it comes to number 5. I don't think it will, as you say. I think they will try and continue down the serious road that they started with the GTA 4. But Saints Row the Third is where the fun is at. 100%. I was very shocked. I did think that Uncharted would have been my number one, Pac-Man would have been my number two, that probably L.A. Noire wouldn't have even been on there. Same with Gears. It's really strange how your preconceptions of how the year is going to be in the world of gaming is flipped on its head just, you know, by having such fantastic games. And, you know, these are 10. We only get to pick 10. That's a real struggle. But, yeah, thank you for such a wonderful year of gaming. It's been brilliant.
All right. So I'll move on to Mike. And just FYI, we're not doing any news.
Yeah.
But I didn't think we were.
Well, yeah. There hasn't been any news, to be fair. It's been Christmas.
Well, we can talk about Paul Christopher.
I swear to God. Just stop.
No, don't That's even done. Bring his name in. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I'm going to rattle through my honorable mentions real quick. Modern Warfare 3, Serious Sam 3, BFE. Bulletstorm, I had a lot of fun with. Gears 3, WWE 12, LA Noire, Killzone 3, which really almost made my top 10 list, and Rage. Before I get into the meat of the top 10, I just want to mention that Skylanders is my dad-approved game. And on the downloadable front, the two that really jump out at me are From Dust and Bastion. And then I kind of tongue-in-cheek have a Wombat Award. I finally played Red Dead Redemption this year. And had I played that in the year that it came out, it would have made my list. All right, so now for my top 10 list. Number 10, Dead Island. Really enjoyed what I played of it. I need to play more of it. Number 9, Deus Ex, Human Revolution. Again, for the setting, for the smartness of the story. Again, like Drew said, some of the stealth stuff, some of the missions went on too long. But again, a really enjoyable game.
Dude, that boss fight. The second to the last boss fight.
If you just use the typhoon on that.
What are you talking about? Where the guy goes invisible and shit?
Yeah, Typhoon.
Half
killed
fight.
In 2 seconds.
Shit, I couldn't do it.
So 10, 9, 8. Uncharted 3 is number 8 on my list. Again, when we look back at the series, you know, Uncharted 2 is definitely the high watermark of the series so far. Mm. And we don't know when we're going to get another Uncharted.
February.
Really? Okay, well, console-based Uncharted. Very, very funny. A sequel. The one that's coming out for the Vita is...
It's not Naughty Dog, for a start.
Oh. Well, there you go. Number 7, Portal 2. Had a lot of fun with that, played all the way through the co-op. Smart writing, very funny. I liked it. 6. And this is only because I have not played a lot of it yet. Skyrim. I felt like I couldn't put it any higher on my list because I really haven't experienced enough of it to bump some of the games that I've put hours and hours and hours into that are further up. 5, Mortal Kombat. One of those games where I expected to enjoy, but not really put as many hours into as I did, and find as much enjoyment with as I did, and it really wowed me. I would love to see more fighting games learn from what Mortal Kombat has done. The King of the Hill stuff, you know, once they patched it and it worked, it was brilliant. Would love to see more of that. Number 4, Shadows of the Damned. I believe everybody who wants innovation and unique things in gaming needs to pick this game up. I hope Lollipop Chainsaw continues the trend, and is the kind of the unique, quirky title for this year. Number 3, Batman Arkham City. The big thing with me is that, as expected, once I finished the story, I'd done all the side quests pretty much. I don't know if I'm going to go back and get the Riddler trophies. And that bothers me. I just thought there were way too many of them.
There were.
I thought there were some things in the game that dragged a little bit, but overall, I absolutely loved it. Really, really enjoyed it. And the end is just jaw-dropping. Number 2, Infamous 2. It takes a special game to get me to play it through back-to-back twice. And I did that with Infamous, and I've done it with Infamous 2. I have fully played that game twice, and I've seen both endings. Really, even enjoyed it. It didn't drag my second time through. I mean, there were things I wanted to kind of get through, but I definitely still found it enjoyable the second time. And my game of the year, Saints Row the Third.
Hey!
Yeah. Again, you know, this game wasn't on my radar. I've never played the first two games. I credit their marketing department on putting together an amazing campaign for it that got my interest up. But it took the game to actually live up to that, and the amount of variety in that game. One of the things I loved was there was a handful of a variety of different side missions. Unlike, let's say, the first Assassin's Creed, where it's like, oh, I got to do another pickpocketing thing, I've got to beat another guy up. You know, this was, you know, there's a handful of trailblazing missions, and they didn't really get old too quickly. And by the time they really did get old, you were done with them. Same thing with the insurance fraud and all of that. The two worst side missions, in my opinion, thankfully there were only two, were the Guardian Angel ones. And that's it. So I'm really excited for the DLC. I can't wait to pop that game in. I was excited to play it every time I played it. It was, I did experience a couple glitches that I hope get patched. I thought the character creator, the initiation station, was smart. I'm not entirely sure why it was platform specific, but
that was stupid.
That, and you couldn't use your initiation station creations in the Horde mode, which I found very odd. But overall, I absolutely loved it. Can't wait, and I'll save my disappointments until later. That's me.
All right. Well, I'm going to run down my honorable mentions first. Dungeon Siege 3 snuck up on me at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Bastion, wonderful little game. El Shaddai, probably the most unique game I played all year. Dead Space 2, love that game. Really wish it would have made it into my top 10, but Rage, Really enjoyed that game. Infamous 2 is an honorable mention. Really enjoyed that game. Portal 2, one of the only games I beat twice on the year, including the co-op on both systems. And finally, Skyrim, which making an honorable mention is a lot coming from me.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
And now for my top 10. At number 10, I am also on the Dead Island camp. Absolutely love that game. Borderlands with zombies, like Drew said. Oh, man. I had so much fun with that game. I can't wait to get back into it and play it some more. There's just so much to it. And there's so much fun to be had playing that game. At number 9, I had to go with Rayman Origins. Just rekindled my love for 2D games. Kind of like New Super Mario Brothers did on the Wii a couple years ago. Absolutely fantastic and gorgeous by every stretch of the imagination. If you have the capabilities, you need to buy this on an HD console. You don't usually say that with 2D games, but my god, this game is gorgeous. Surprisingly, at number 8 is a portable game. Super Mario 3D Land.
Huh.
I sank more hours into that game than I did in my 3DS the entire year. And I can't get enough of that game. It's absolutely brilliant. Totally reinvents the Mario, brings back the Mario genre, and still remains one of the best platformers I've ever played. At number 7, here's a shocker for you, Catherine. Mm. Don't know why, but I absolutely adore that game. When I first got it, that's all I played, and I played it nonstop until I beat it.
As did I.
And it's nothing but block puzzles.
Yeah, it's a block puzzle date sim.
And I don't know why, but that game is absolutely engaging. And it just, I couldn't put it down. And I had Edge stuck in my head for days. And loved every minute of it. At number 6, a game that showed up on nobody's list except for mine, Alice Madness Returns. I still can't get over how much I really enjoyed that game. And it's huge. It's a massive, massive game. But I just love the locales. I love the storytelling. I love the platforming. The combat was a little iffy, but I got used to it. And overall, just really, really enjoyed the dark take on the classic. At number 5 is Shadows of the Damned. Can't speak highly enough about this game. I am not Suda51's biggest fan. In fact, I hate most of his games. but when you throw Shinji Mikami into the mix to handle the gameplay mechanics of it, because apparently Suda doesn't know how to make gameplay,
okay,
in my opinion.
Yourself.
Hey, every one of his games to me played like ass.
Killer 7 sucked.
I loved Killer 7. I loved No More Heroes.
Both of those games, the gameplay killed for me. His take on gaming is brilliant. I think it's fantastic. I tried so hard to like No More Heroes because it's totally my kind of game, but that gameplay just killed me. But with Shinji Mikami at the helm, this thing was Resident Evil with Suda 51 stylings, and that is a brilliant combination to me.
Fucking amazing.
At number 4 is Saints Row the Third. Another game I sank many, many, many hours into. Absolutely loved it. I knew I was going to love it before it even came out. I was a big fan of the second one, not such a big fan of the first one. But this third one is like, it's like the Terminator 2 of Saints Row games. It's damn near perfect. At number 3, Legend of Zelda, the Skyward Sword.
Wow.
Any game that can make me stand up and say, okay, motion controls can work for a hardcore game, it deserves to be recognized. I mean, it took me a couple hours to get adjusted to it, to get acclimated to the combat, but once the puzzles finally clicked for me and the motion controls clicked for me, that game, I don't want to play Zelda without motion controls ever again. And that is that is a huge statement.
Yeah.
That is scary.
It is.
Before you were, man, just give me my controller. Give me a Zelda on controller.
There's no way this game exists with a controller. And that's part of its charm. And that was shocking to me. Did not expect it, but God, that game was so good. And number two is Batman Arkham City. I did not have the feelings that John and Drew had on this one. I absolutely loved every minute of it and wish it was another 30 hours long. And I'm not asking for 30 more hours of Riddler trophies, because that was the only downside of that game.
Oh, God.
I probably still have another 15 to 20 hours in that game to play, and it's just collecting the damn Riddler trophies. And
yeah,
to me, that was the only thing they went overboard on. Everything else just flowed so perfectly for me, and I loved every minute of it.
The problem is I want to see the puzzle rooms.
Well, that's the thing. I want to see the Riddler puzzle rooms, but I certainly don't want to go run around collecting all those damn things.
Yeah.
And you could have called
I know what your number one is.
Yeah, so do I.
You could have called this in January 2011. But Mortal Kombat is my number one game, and still my most played game on, according to Raptor.
Wow.
Finally surpassing Trials.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I loved every single minute of it. And this, and Raptor didn't count my PS3 playtime, which I put at least 15 to 20 hours in that version. And I'm actually thinking about buying the Ultimate Complete Edition on the PS3 so I can play it in 3D. Because that game is just so good. It's everything I wanted for the past 10 years. And it is now officially my favorite Mortal Kombat ever. Which puts it in my top three games of all time.
Next to MGS, huh?
Metal Gear and StarCraft. Those are my top three. It used to be Mortal Kombat 2, StarCraft, and Metal Gear Solid. And now this one has overtaken Mortal Kombat 2. So good. And so glad that they're not rushing into a sequel.
Well, there you go.
But that is my top 10. So now, Wombat, you've got to hear everybody else's.
Mic muted.
Is his mic muted?
Yep, it was muted.
There you go.
Yay!
See, Mike, that's how you mute a mic. What's funny is right when we were first starting up, I just went ahead and wrote down the ones I could think of, and my list didn't change at all after all of you talked. So. Turns out I probably didn't really need to go last, but it's cool. It makes me feel like I'm more important than Ken. So
hey, there you go.
Also making me feel like I'm more important than Ken is that I only have 7 games on my list.
That's because that was every game you played this year, right?
Exactly. I'm going to start at 7. And work my way up. Just pretend that 8 through 10 were just really awesome subpar games this year.
Okay.
2010.
They're right. Games that you will play next year.
Right. So number 7 on my list, taking its annual place on my list, is MLB The Show. It was awesome this year, and it's awesome every year. So it always ends up on my list at some place. Number 6 is Deus Ex Human Revolution. It was a very, very fun game until I got really burnt out on it. It's one that I would like to go back and finish eventually, now that I've sort of stepped away from it for a little bit. But I did really enjoy my time in it up until I got burnt out on it. Number 5 is Warhammer 40K Space Marine.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I completely forgot to put that on my honorable mention list.
Which, you know, I was really, really looking forward to before it came out, and then it came out, and I thought it was fantastic. It was a great third-person shooter with a good story based in the 40K universe, and a lot of fun multiplayer, too. So Space Marine goes on there at number 5. Number 4 is Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age 2 is a funny kind of game. It's one of those games where I feel like I spent most of the year complaining about it. And I feel like I was really when I was playing it, I was really just trying to figure out when it would be over. But then I look back over it, and I look back over the DLC, and next to Skyrim, it's my most played game of the year. And to be honest, it probably, they're probably pretty close if I include the DLCs. You know, I probably put 55 hours in Dragon Age 2. So, very enjoyable game. Even though I had some problems with it, I still really enjoyed the story and the characters. So, that makes its way on my list at number 4. Number 3 is Mortal Kombat. I, like Ken, am also a huge Mortal Kombat fan, and I was more than pleased, with the way MK turned out. I love the fact that there was so much content included in that game. Something that a couple other fighting game manufacturers could probably learn from.
Capcom! Oh, wow. Oh, sorry.
And, you know, from the story mode and the challenge tower and just all the characters and all the fatalities and just how smooth the gameplay was, is just sort of the pinnacle of fighting games for me, next to Street Fighter II. So, very, very good. Very, very good game. Number 2 is Batman Arkham City. I'm sort of in the middle between Ken and Drew and John as far as whether it was better than Asylum or not. I feel like it's kind of split a little bit. I feel like there were a lot of things that Asylum did better, and then I feel like there were a lot of things that Arkham City did better. So I do, though, think that the actual city was very well realized, and it was a really cool environment. I love the story. I thought the ending was fantastic. And I thought the game did a good job of not getting stale. It varied itself very well. So that was number 2. My number 1 game of the year was Two Worlds 2.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. No, it was Skyrim, obviously. You know, I'm 62 hours into it. I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. There's still a ton of things for me left to do. And what's most important is it's not like Batman where I'm 60 hours in and there's a ton of stuff to do. I'm 60 hours in and there's a ton of stuff I want to do. That's the difference for me. And I foresee this, you know, probably challenging Morrowind for most hours spent in a single player game for me. I just, you know, there's not much else for me to say about it that everybody else hasn't said, but it's a phenomenal game, and I couldn't be happier with it.
Now, I have to make one observation about everybody's lists.
Okay.
There's not a lot of multiplayer games on there.
No, you know what's funny?
Shooter on my top 10.
You know what's funny is I think the only multiplayer I played all year was Mortal Kombat with you guys and that one night of Space Marine with Mike.
Yep. I played a lot of Saints Row multiplayer.
It's just amazing how our styles have changed the older we've gotten.
Oh, definitely.
It's so hard to line up schedules.
Not really schedules. It's just like, you know, I used to have a group of guys who I played, you know, Call of Duty with every night. I'm talking, it was, you know, routine every night. I got out of first-person shooters and I got out of competition games. You know, I still play fighting games a lot, but, you know, as far as my top 10, Killzone 3 is the only game that is actually a competition. And then, luckily, that is fantastic online.
See, I'm actually looking for it, because the multiplayer games that I like to play online are actually co-op games.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We're leaning more toward co-op than we are, you know, competition versus.
Speaking of which, we all know everyone online is a complete dick, so
right,
rather than the people you know.
Hey, Mike, do you still have Space Marine?
I don't have it with me right now. I actually loaned it to Kelsey, but but I will have it back probably in a couple months.
We never played the
online
co-op.
Yeah.
We need to try that out.
Yes, we do. And I know that Ken and I talked about, speaking of co-op, going through Transformers War for Cybertron together.
I need to buy that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing it again with Fall of Cybertron coming out this fall. That is right now my most anticipated game in the fall. So, So if anybody else wants to play War for Cybertron with us.
Well, Ken, don't forget, me and you are going to be doing some more Fear.
Yes, we have to finish Fear.
So nobody else wants to play War for Cybertron with us?
I'm not a fan.
I might.
Not a Transformer guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Jason. You're going to have to go buy it.
Yeah.
Have you played it yet, Gambus?
It's not an OnlyFans, is it?
No.
You haven't played it yet? Oh, my
All right.
God. It's probably the best Transformers game ever made.
I played the single player, but not the multiplayer.
Well, it's just co-op.
No. We're just going to play co-op. We're not going to play the...
The versus mode.
Oh, okay.
No, we're going to play through it because it's three-player co-op.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's fun. And I played it through with one friend on hard mode, and I don't want to play on hard mode again.
No, that game was challenging on normal.
That game, we spent over an hour successfully beating Omega Supreme.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, when you're worried about in that battle, you have to, like, what we ended up having to do was one person, whoever ended up getting targeted, had to, like run, like, transform and just fly to avoid the missiles and stuff. And the other person tried to set up the shots. But you were so low on ammo in that game, especially on hard mode, because the whichever enemies you're fighting are just, like, bullet soaks. I mean, they just sponge it up.
Anyway, you want to do some disappointments?
If you want to throw a couple in there, we've got a couple minutes, not a lot of time.
Okay, well, this is real simple. There's only two that I have. The first one is Brink.
Oh, didn't see that coming?
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's a fucking game, dude. Everybody knows how big of a I wouldn't say fan, but how excited I was for that game ever since it was announced. And
I loved the art style. I liked what they tried to do, but the online and the whole infrastructure of the game was just busted.
It's like my ex-roommate told me whenever he played it. He says it's the best worst game he's ever played. Who's dragging a dead body?
Yeah, who is that?
It's not me this time.
It's not me.
Don't look at me.
It's not me.
Well, guess what? Everybody said it's not me.
Here, let me
Somebody's
rub my
lying.
But the other big disappointment of the year, and a lot of people would disagree with me, Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I totally disagree with you.
I agree with you. It's on my list.
Well, see, here's my thing. I put Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Capcom in general. Because I'm going to say this. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is not a bad game. It's a competent fighting game. It's a very good fighting game.
It's online sucks.
But the way Capcom handled support for the game as well as promised DLC for the game is shit.
I think the DLC versus Ultimate Edition argument is a valid argument until you realize that it splits the user base, and we still never got spectator mode in the original.
See, that's exactly the thing. Now, I understand that Capcom's going to release a new version of their game, but when you do it 8 months after the first game came out, you can kiss my ass. I mean, that's stupid. That's basically saying, hey, you guys know we're robbing you blind. Give me your fucking money. And people give them their fucking money. I'm just like, no. So they're actually like they're rubbing it in our faces now. And I'm like, I'm not going to support that. When they announced the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, that is when I said I'm never going to buy another Capcom fighting game. They have ruined me. Capcom in general, like them canceling, you know, the Mega Man Legends 3 thing. And pretty much denouncing Mega Man from now on. And then they come out and say, oh, Mega Man's still a big franchise for us.
They blamed the cancellation of Mega Man Legends 3 on the fans, by the way.
Yeah. This is the support from the fans was what it was.
So. Can I add my two to those two that are also on my list?
Go right ahead.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, God.
That game was so bad.
Yep.
That's the worst game.
But coming from Telltale, you just expect it to be fun.
That
and
game.
Witty and enjoyable. And it was none of that.
And somehow I still beat it.
Oh, I beat it too. It was just...
That's the worst part, is everybody who hated it beat it.
Well, I reviewed it, and it wasn't so long that I couldn't justify not finishing it for review.
I paid for it and beat it.
Yeah, but you, at that point you're like, I bought this shitty hamburger. I'm either going to waste my money and throw it in the trash, or I'm going to eat the shitty hamburger. All right, fine, shitty hamburger. Go in my mouth.
I must have been hungry.
You must have been hungry.
Eat that shitty burger.
But you know, if you do love Jurassic Park, there are little nuggets of quality in the nods, the things that kind of harken back to the original books and movies. Other than that, though, it was just pure shit. And the other game, and boy, is this gonna? This might get me in trouble. Battlefield 3.
Oh.
Battlefield 3 was a disappointment to me.
You're playing with fire.
The broken online, the shit that Battlelog is, not being able to see your friends online unless you add them on Battlelog. The squad mechanics where you can only have, you can't set up more than four people in a game to join the game. The shitty single player, the no training at all for jets or helicopters. It's not like you could go back and replay a single player mission to get better at flying a jet or learn how to pilot a helicopter. No, you either have to completely torch your team by saying, all right, this is the round where I go and like crash a helicopter 50 times so that I can fucking learn how to fly it. And then have your teammates yell, what are you doing? Why are you stealing the helicopter? You keep fucking crashing it. It's like, well, how the hell else am I supposed to learn?
That sounds exactly like them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So to me, there were things that I expected from Battlefield 3. I think it's a gorgeous game. I think the lighting is very good. I think that the fact that you can do really well in a game without having even a positive kill-death ratio, they're all great things, but the playability of it, the ability to get online for when it mattered the most, when that game first came out, just completely disappointed me. You know, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad game, but it's on my disappointment list.
Wait.
No.
But the lighting is good?
Only if you install
Have you ever been blinded by one of those flashlights? It's amazing.
Only if you install the HD pack.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Yeah, no, and this is coming off, remember, the beta was shit. And the beta was a huge misstep in the promotion of that game. Don't tell me that it was testing server loads. Don't give me any of that shit, because as broken as the online was when that game launched, they might as well never have had a beta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay! I said yeah.
We've just lost it.
Yeah, I think we're done. But that wraps up the Game of the Year show. We'll be back to normal next week.
well, relative normality.
Well, normal for us.
Yeah.
I might have a report from something.
From something.
Yes, I'm taking the red eye back on Saturday night.
Oh, boy.
You'll
be bright and chipper for that morning.
Yeah,
you
know, no shit.
Beat your children some more.
I didn't. I walked out and I said, what is going on out here? And I had a conversation with them.
I heard a couple baseball bats.
Wasn't all beating.
And then I'd heard the distinct sound of someone falling down the stairs. You can't see me, but I'm making air quotes.
It's falling into a doorknob, and
gotcha.
Fair about this.
You know what my dad used to
call
it? He used to call it checking the tires. If I was acting up in the car, he wanted to beat the hell out of me. He's like, come on, we're going to check the tires. He'd take me outside the car and beat the hell out of me. And so it was to a point.
Curious now? Are we having a serious moment?
No. I mean, my dad, that was what.
Where's that music?
No, this is actually kind of funny because he used to like warn me about it. You know, he'd be like, Drew, you want to go check the tires? I'm like, Dad, please.
Please don't make me check the tires.
I don't want to go check the tires. Get that.
Did you have a lisp when you were a child?
Yeah, it's
Every time Drew drives past the tire discounters now, he has a panic attack.
He screams at the sight of the Michelin Man.
Oh, God, yeah.
He haunts your dreams.
Yeah, but that's more of a molestation thing that he had.
What?
Oh, my God.
Tire.
That's why you can't watch Ghostbusters either. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man reminds him of the Pudgy Priest.
Wow. We're definitely done.
Or his high school football coach, your choice.
What?
I think we need a Bacock to get us out of here.
I think we do, Jason. So why don't you do your game of the year?
Game of the year, the Bacock of the year. Alrighty. And it's now 2012, and it's time for something like this.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G podcast.
Mario!
$0.
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Gather time!
Greetings, programs! I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat! Killer Wolverine! Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.